Yo, 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 yo! What's up, all you burner stoners and potheads out there? This is Weedman 420 with the Weedman 420 Chronicles. How are all you vipers doing out there, Mrs. Weedman?
Mr. Weedman?
How the hell are you?
I'm all right.
You ain't just all right.
I'm hot.
And tell everybody why.
Because I had another piece of a chiba-chew. I decided to have that after dinner instead of waiting for the show, and it has fully set itself
ablaze
on mode. maybe. Yeah, I'm pretty high.
You're pretty high?
I'm pretty high.
It's going to be a very interesting show.
Yeah. I'm going to smoke too.
A little bit. Hey, everybody out there in the world, hope you're doing great. Hope you're smoking some big fat doinks while you're listening to the show. And what's going on in the world? Yuki, is her bill of health came in free and clear. No.
Yay,
Addison disease.
Yuki.
So all the blood work she had, all the tests she had,
she's good.
All good. Except for she has a very sensitive belly.
Yeah.
Tummy.
And that might just be a growing pain.
Right.
We don't know that that's long term.
Yeah. So, but she just had another growth spurt. She got to go to the beach with us and got to play in the water and have a lot of fun. She is just one happy dog.
Yes.
That's my baby dog. She is happy.
Mr. Weedman loves Yuki. That should be carved in a tree somewhere.
She's a good baby dog.
She is. She's a cute doggy.
She's great.
I love her.
We're so happy that she's doing great. And I know, thank you everybody out there for asking, reaching out to us on social media and asking about her. So we do appreciate it. We got done watching the Junior British Bake Off and Reese. Oop.
Oh, geez. Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Jeez, Mr. Weedman. You're not even high.
Not yet, anyway.
The heck? Giving shit away.
Well, I might as well get high.
And then you might as well get high.
You going to smoke that bowl?
Okay.
While I talk about the British Bake Off?
Sure.
So,
what am I smoking?
We are smoking Wild Berry Breath by Bedford Grow.
Wild Berry Breath?
Wild Berry Breath. And this was part of the High Times Cannabis Cup challenge. And it's 24% THC. Got some good cannabinoids in there. And it's also got some terpenes. It's an indica hybrid, but more indica dominant, I should say. And this has got some good terpenes, myrcene, carafolene, and I don't even know if we smoked this on the show, but I've smoked a good amount of it. It's pretty good. Good little indica. Nice and mellow and calming and relaxing. So wasn't one of my favorites of all of the High Times Cannabis Cup, but it's decent. So go ahead and finish talking about the British baking show.
So it was great, and Mr. Weedman just told you who won, so I hope you're not wondering and watching.
Whoops.
But it was really fun. We just really loved it. So now we're going to be doing the newest adult, like the regular Great British Baking Show.
The new season of the adult version is on.
Yes. And we are going to do a fantasy draft.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You're really high. Oh my goodness.
With the kids. With all of our kids.
Yes. With Polly,
Shoddy,
and O-Dog.
Very well. O-Dog.
O-Dog. So it'll be the five of us doing a little bit of a fun thing, that because we all like that show. And actually, they got us into the show a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So we watched them all during COVID. It was great. We really enjoy the show. So we're excited about the new season.
Yeah.
It should be fun doing it, something different.
Yeah.
Like a fantasy draft. I don't understand it yet because I haven't read the instructions, so we're going to go over it a little bit later with the show. So super stoked. And my grow's going really great too. We're on four and a half weeks right now of flower. And
a lot of buds.
Oh,
in
there's
plant.
There's a lot of everything in that and going on. The trichomes are really starting to get pronounced on the leaves right now, and the sugar leaves are starting to pop. Looking really, really good. Got about four and a half more weeks to go, I would say, before I close it out. And then it all depends on how the trichomes are looking too, if they got that nice little color that I look for. So, but I'm super stoked. It's watermelon punch and banana sherbet, two strains I've never actually even had either. So I'm super stoked. They smell great. I pulled two leaves off today and brought it up to Mrs. Weedman to smell. And she's like, whoa, what did you say they smelled like? One smelled really sweet and the other one smelled a little earthy.
One was
spicy.
One was earthy and one was
so
fruity.
But they're looking good. They outgrew the tent again, as always. So it's crazy how fast shit grows in that tent. And I it's my fault because I know I should put it to flower a little sooner, but I love when it grows. I really do. I love watching. I just need a bigger tent. One day I'll have the big 10 by 10 and then it's all over. And then Mr. Wee Man is going to be having lots of fun. So, but yeah, hope everybody really enjoying the new episode that we're doing with Big Earl, the Grow Hour. Thank you again, everyone, for reaching out about the volume. YouTube sounding better. We did kind of adjust it. Hopefully it's working a little bit better, but also I put the closed caption on there too. So, but we really appreciate everybody reaching out to us about that show and really enjoying it. So, and I thank you everybody too, reaching out just to show some love, man. It's just been really nice hearing from everybody lately and everyone participating and sending pictures for Show Your Grow Friday. It's been a lot of fun. Some of the homies out there just throwing some crazy pictures over to us. I love it. I love it. And then just staying in tune with us, man. We appreciate all the comments and likes and just the love. It's been really nice. And even with 8 decades, too, we appreciate everybody with the support on that. So I just, you know, I got a little baked and I feel like I got to show some.
Very sentimental.
Yeah, very sentimental. You ready to get the show started?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Cannabis cultivation at home is on the rise. As I was just speaking about home grow. Here's what a new report says. There's been a couple articles that I'm reading and I might bring out to later on more episodes. But this is a good one because home grow is just, to me, everybody should be allowed in this country to be able to grow their own flower and not have to get it from a dispensary and not have to get it from a plug. If you want to grow your own weed, you should be allowed to. So a new report from New Frontier Data showed that the U.S. home weed growers will produce more than 11 million pounds of dried cannabis flower this year. 11 million pounds. I participate in that. I throw a little bit in there. A little bit. The report noted that the 2020 Colorado produced 816 pounds of dried flower while generating $2.2 billion in legal sales. That's Colorado, though. That's just one state. But home grows, because don't forget, it's not legal in every state to grow. Still a lot. And that's actually not even the traditional market home grow either that's being accounted for.
That's just regulated.
Just
cannabis.
Regulated home grow. NFD conducted a survey involving 4,682 cannabis consumers and 1,250 non-cannabis consumers. Home growers as consumers tend to be intentional with their use and prolific in their consumption of cannabis. However, only one in three home growers report being the only ones to consume what they grow. Nearly half, 49% say they share with friends and family. I'm one of them. Stated Noah Tomaris, NFD senior research analyst. The role residential cultivation plays in the national cannabis supply is notable, supplementing the stocks and commercially legal and illicit growers. Most growers, 62%, keep 6 plants or less at a time while harvesting up to 3 times a year. I'm one of them. I don't grow 6 plants. I grow anywhere between 2 to 4 when I get a chance to grow outside, but 2 inside that tent. I've done 3 before. It's out of control, 3. Unless I really learn how to really crop them and keep them really tiny, I could probably go 3 in there. Eventually, I'll get better. But that is a lot. I mean, 6 plants for just a home grower, you know, it's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of energy. You've heard me talk about this before, how much work it does go into it. And I do. I run it every basically 3 times a year, maybe 4 possibly if I could do it, but 3 times a year is basically what I do, you know, 120 days, you know, but from seed to drying to curing, you're looking at 120 days realistically. So you're only getting 3 grows a year. So the more you can get out of it, the better, the more weed you'll get and the more you can give to friends and family and people you love and care about. What about regulations? Those practices fall in line with most state regulations, which limit home cultivation to 6 plants at a time per person. Those who grow more than 6 permitted plants may do so legally as part of a state-sanctioned medical collective. Others still participate in the illicit market. So briefly, 6% of cannabis consumers grow their own cannabis, which translates to 3 million growers. Crazy. By 2030, about 4.1 million Americans will be cultivating their own cannabis at home. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Should be more. Should be fucking 8.2 million people, maybe 10 million people. While 7% of adult youth consumers are likely to cultivate their own cannabis, the figures go slightly lower to 5% for medical consumers and 4% for those who purchase cannabis from the illicit market. Let's call it traditional market. 38% of home growers know someone working in the cannabis industry, which is twice more compared to non-growers. Most home growers cultivate 6 plants or less each time and harvest up to 3 times a year. medical cannabis home cultivation. According to the report, registered medical cannabis patients are twice as likely to have tried growing cannabis at home compared to users who have never registered. Registered patients who are home growers are also likely to claim that they are also consume the cannabis they grow, 39% compared to consumers who have never registered as a medical patient in their state. Almost 47% of currently registered medical patients report growing 7 or more plants at a time. Wow, that's awesome. Hell yeah. The future is green. Even after seeing the effects and assesses increases, the flower's relative market shares declines and new markets emerge. It is likely that domestic growers will continue to produce their own flowers. Production is a key indicator whether home growers share their flower. Half of those producing less than 1 ounce reported consuming it all themselves, while about 26% of those producing 3 pounds or more consumed it alone, reads the NFD report. I mean, that's awesome. So home grow will be on the rise as more and more states legalize and more states allow it and more people fight for home grow, asking your state representatives to get that passed. And not only just here in the United States, around the world, people should be able to grow their own cannabis. And I will preach that to the day I'm under the ground. Established producers are likely to become increasingly efficient and expand their operations. NFD projects that by 2030, home growers will produce more than 15 million pounds of dried flower a year. Brands and growers are already well aware of the competitive challenges posed by corporate growers, but understanding the nuances of personal cultivation will become increasingly important, to report, the report concluded. Here's the deal. I've said this before. Growing is not for everybody. It's not easy. It takes work. It takes time. It's a passion. It's a love. It's a zen. You could do it. You could do it, and you'll grow something. If you don't like it, then you just don't do it again. But it's the same thing with home brewing. When craft beer was through the fucking roof, I knew so many people that were buying home brewing kits. And remember, Ms. Weed Man? Just, you don't remember nothing right now. You're baked.
you caught me. I was in the zone. I was really spaced out. I don't even know what I was thinking about. Oh, well.
Say la vie, right?
Say la vie.
So anyway, during the craft beer boom, people were buying brewery kits and brewery sets, and then half of it just went in the garbage or went and sold it. I mean, most people aren't even home brewing anymore. So it takes time, and it's not for everybody. Growing is not for everybody. But here's the thing: what I've said on the Grow Hour show is find somebody you can partner with that wants to grow. You invest in the equipment with them, invest in the seeds. Maybe if they want to go on vacation, you come over and just water the plants and make sure the lights are on. And then here what you do: you share the wealth, you share the bounty, you share everything that's in that tent. If he grows a pound of weed, you get a QP. Why? Because he did all the work, he's got to pay. But if not, if you split everything, then you split 50-50, half a pound each. Why not? It's good for everybody. It doesn't only have to be made money. It should be just given away. Trust me, I mean, I know people want to make money off of cannabis. It's a good crop, of course. But there's people that just want to be able to give it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I love giving flower away. It makes me happy watching someone's face when you give them a nug. It's the enjoyment. Give you a perfect example. We had our heating and cooling done. Our furnace went out.
Mm-hmm.
My tent is back there, and I couldn't move the tent, so I had to like make sure it was all closed up. And one of the guys was like, "What do you got in there?" He goes, "I know what you got in there, but can I take a look?" I'm like, "Absolutely, man." I put it down. He was looking at it, touching it, smelling his fingers. He's like, "Man, that's really nice." I said, "Yeah, man, don't cost me." He goes, "I smoke a little bit. My wife is the real smoker." I said, "Yeah, that's cool, man." So they got done with their work, came back. I was downstairs, you know, wiping around the tent, making sure there was no dust on it before I opened it back up again because they were done working. And he came back over, looked at it again. He goes, "Man, those are some nice plants. How much you think you're going to get?" I said, "Probably like, I don't know, 6-8 ounces. I don't know until it's dry, you know?" And he's like, "Oh man, you know, I would love to try some of your flower." He goes, "And my wife would probably love it." He goes, "You got some?" Man, I came out with a nice fat, I had a jar. And usually the rule in the house is you have to bring a jar to get flower. I don't give it in plastic baggies. So he didn't have a jar. So I gave him one of mine, and I gave him a nice fat nugget.
Fat nugget.
Oh, I gave him a fatty. He looked at it and he goes, "Man, thanks a lot." And then we just told stories about, like, he knew some growers back in the day and he's got some people that give him weed all the time. And so it was a good conversation. But it was just I enjoy. When he walked out, he came up and shake my hand. He said, "Man, thank you so much. I really appreciate this, man." I said, "Just let me, next time if I ever see you again, I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but if I ever do, dude, just let me know what you thought of it."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. That's all. How you feeling? You ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You good?
I'm ready.
I got you?
Like Rocky. I'm ready.
You didn't hear no bell ring, Mick?
Ding, 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 ding.
No.
Oh, no. Then you're out. Then you're... No, now I'm the champion. I won. Someone's got to win when the bell goes. Or is that just when you get knocked out? Yeah, but that means there's a winner.
It's the round's over sometimes.
Yeah.
The bell will ring when the round's over, right?
So ding, 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 ding. It's all over. No, but you're not over. Now we got to tally up the punches.
No, but you're going.
And I won.
It's your turn.
Rocky. Rocky, I'm here.
Talk about the endocannabinoid system, will you?
How, follow me, people, follow me. I'm going to try to make sense here. How, I've got articles, right? How your endocannabinoid system affects your cannabis experience. According to experts in cannabis wellness, there are 15 factors that can impact your cannabis experience. In some ways, though, your unique endocannabinoid system may be the most important factor impacting your cannabis experience. This article will present a breakdown of the endocannabinoid system, explore how this remarkable system bridges the body and mind, and discuss different ways you can impact your endocannabinoid system to improve your health and well-being. Did you know that your endocannabinoid system is unique? If you have ever tried a cannabis product that helps your friend relax and refresh, but when you take it, you feel energized and uplifted, that may be because your endocannabinoid system is different than your friend's. Not only are there genetic variations in the human endocannabinoid system, but also the decisions you make in your day-to-day life can influence your individual system. For example, your diet, stress levels, sleep, and exercise can change your endocannabinoid tone. Endocannabinoid tone refers to the overall state of your endocannabinoid system. Specifically, endocannabinoid tone reflects the level of endocannabinoids, their synthesis and catabolism, and the relative density of cannabinoid receptors in the brain. Well, what does the endocannabinoid system do? The primary function of the system in organisms is to maintain homeostasis, or to maintain stability in one organism's internal environment in response to changes in the external environment. The homeostatic role of the endocannabinoid system is summarized as relax, eat, sleep, forget, and protect. Additionally, the endocannabinoid system plays an important role in regulating cell division, neuroplasticity, metabolism, pain, emotional memory, inflammation, and immune processes. Given the various functions of the endocannabinoid system, it is no surprise that cannabis can be used for a variety of wellness goals. For example, you can use cannabis for recovering after a workout, focusing and creating, improving sleep, relieving mild pain, or improving social experiences. What exactly is the endocannabinoid system? In humans, the system is made up of the type 1 cannabinoid receptor, or CB1, and the type 2 cannabinoid receptor, or CB2. The endogenous ligands that are also known as endocannabinoids, and the enzymes that produce and degrade the ligands. Ligands are signaling molecules that bind to receptors on cells. Endocannabinoids activate the CB1 and CB2 receptors, as well as the vanilloid receptor, which plays a role in sensing temperature and pain. CB1 receptors are found on neurons throughout the brain and the peripheral nervous system, as well as in muscle tissue, bone, and a variety of other tissue types. CB2 receptors are primarily found on the immune cells, although they are also found on bone and liver cells, as well as on neurons in the brain and peripheral nervous system. Whew, that's technical. What are endocannabinoids? So what was that? That was what our endocannabinoid system is. Okay, next one is, what are endocannabinoids? And I really edited this article.
This is a long one. A lot of stuff.
It's big, but it's very interesting. While cannabinoid receptors are composed of proteins, endocannabinoids are lipids. Lipids are organic compounds that don't dissolve in water, like fats and oils. As a result, the endocannabinoid system can be described as a complex network where endogenous bioactive lipid signals are produced by cells and released on demand. Yeah, that's over my head. Why does THC get you high? Cannabis contains a wide variety of chemical compounds, including hundreds of cannabinoids, terpenes, flavonoids, and other compounds. Many of these compounds exert complex biological effects. However, THC is the primary intoxicating cannabinoid in cannabis. But why does THC get you high? Well, THC mimics the endocannabinoids in your body and bind to CB1 receptors in your brain, creating a euphoric effect. Researchers have found that the expression of CB1 receptors in the brain correlates with the psychoactive effects of cannabis. Specifically, CB1 receptors are found in the areas of the brain related to appetite, memory, fear extinction, motor responses, and posture, all of which are affected by THC. Scientists have determined that the endocannabinoid system has an ancient evolutionary roots. Cannabinoid receptors are found in mammals, birds, amphibians, fish, sea urchins, mollusks, leeches, and Hydra vulgaris.
Even a fucking leech?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, and the Hydra vulgaris is the simplest nervous system of any known organism. Insects and protozoa do not have an endocannabinoid system. Genetic researchers have traced back the diverse cannabinoid receptor genes to one ancestral CB gene that predates the divergence of vertebrae and invertebrates. As a result, the primordial CB receptor evolved at least 600 million years ago, around the time of the Cambrian explosion. So do your genes affect your cannabis experience? Well, a 2018 literature review titled Pharmacogenetics of Cannabinoids notes that a patient's response to cannabinoid treatment may have a genetic background, which depends on gene polymorphism involved in the action, metabolism, and the transport of these substances in the organism. Pharmacogenetics is a field of study that tries to determine why individuals experience variable responses to the same drug. For example, some people are unable to feel the effects of edibles even when they eat very high doses of THC. Studies have shown that two people can have completely different levels of THC metabolites if one of them produces a certain form of an enzyme. The enzyme is called CPY2C9, and it comes in different forms depending on which variant of the CPY2C9 gene one has. A rare subtype of this gene produces a variant of the enzyme that metabolizes THC faster than normal, making it exceedingly difficult for those individuals to feel the effects of edibles. That's crazy.
Yep.
However, cannabis can be taken through a variety of ingestion methods, so you can still get wellness benefits from cannabis even if edibles don't work for you. Individuals with this genetic variant will still feel the effects of inhaled cannabinoids. How the endocannabinoid system links your mind and body? One of the most important functions of the endocannabinoid system in mammals is to return an organism to homeostasis after stress. Essentially, stress, including psychological stress, affects your endocannabinoid system. Stress impacts your system, and your system impacts your stress response. That's why researchers believe the endocannabinoid system represents a microcosm of mind-body medicine. Ooh, that's deep.
Deep, deep, deep.
How does exercise boost your system? Many of the benefits of exercise are related to its effects on your endocannabinoid system. For example, the famous runner's high that has been found to be caused by endocannabinoids rather than endorphins. I didn't know that.
Just like protozoas, you didn't know that either. You know what they are?
Algae.
Single cell organisms. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at you.
Look at me. I know some things.
Two tree.
One, two. Exercise produces different effects in different regions of the brain. For example, exercise increases CB1 signaling in the hippocampus, which is how exercise affects motivation, memory, and neuroplasticity. The hippocampus is a part of your brain that plays a role in memory function. So, how does cannabis impact your endocannabinoid system? Cannabis can either have a stimulating or a suppressive effect on your system. Cannabis and cannabis products are complex polypharmaceuticals consisting of dozens of cannabinoids as well as terpenes, flavonoids, and other compounds. Acute cannabis exposure may kickstart your endocannabinoid system by increasing CB1 receptor density, increasing sensitivity of CB1 receptors to cannabinoids, and increasing the AEA biosynthesis. However, chronic high dosing of THC products will have the opposite effect. CB1 receptors are downregulated and tolerance goes up. However, cannabis is not just THC, and different compounds in cannabis have different distinct effects. In conclusion, the endocannabinoid system is a complex system that is critically important for our well-being. Our environment and the decisions we make in our daily life can impact our system in remarkable ways, giving us the power to improve our well-being naturally. So that's cool.
Very cool. And we've talked about that before on prior episodes, but more research and more research and more articles will always come out about this. And every time we see more, we are going to talk about it. So it's a refresher too, which is great because I love the endocannabinoid system is so hard to learn and get to know. So, I mean, yeah, the more we know, the more we learn, the better it is.
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say? I don't really know. I don't think it was going to make sense.
That's all right.
So we'll just let it go.
But this does.
Yeah.
Does smoking cannabis make you lazy?
No.
Move on. That was your article.
That's it.
Well, there's a big article, but we don't need to talk about it. Just no.
Bottom line.
No. There's no such thing as a lazy stoner. It's debunked.
Are lazy.
There's lazy. I'm ambitiously lazy.
But weed doesn't make you lazy.
No. Weed does not make me lazy at all. Actually, weed makes me want to go do shit.
A lazy person will be a lazy stoner.
100%.
That's all.
That's it. It's not the cannabis, and it's just the government, medical practice, lies by the media, journalists just spreading lies due to the Harry Anslinger's, what he talked about back in the 30s. And here it is. Marijuana is a shortcut to the insane asylum. Smoking marijuana cigarettes for a month and what was once your brain will be nothing but storehouse of horrid specters and a bunch of lazy people that just don't do nothing every day. Well, Harry Anslinger, you were wrong. And it was all about racism when you had no scientific factual backing for any of this. So there is no such thing as lazy stoner, just lazy people. I am 100% ambitiously lazy. I love getting my shit done as fast as possible so I can come home and fucking relax and smoke some weed and be lazy for a couple hours. I'm not lazy all day, but being lazy for an hour or two and doing nothing but relaxing and taking care of yourself, ambitiously lazy. That's me right there. So no lazy stoners. Now, this next one, though, okay, Mr. Weed Man did a little reel about Alabama and Oklahoma arresting women and for being pregnant and using cannabis. Sorry, not arresting people, women for being pregnant, just arresting people, arresting women for using cannabis while they're pregnant. Okay. Sorry. But I found an article that I gave to Mrs. Weed Man because I've never had a baby. Mm-hmm. I've helped. But
that's funny.
Just a little bit. But cannabis is more effective than prescription drugs for pregnancy-related nausea.
Yeah. How about that?
Right.
Want me to go?
I want you to go to this article. Then I have another one I want to talk about everything that's been going on about them arresting women. And Mrs. Weedman's going to help me out with this because I am so pissed off about it all. Go ahead, Mrs. Weedman.
I should be more pissed off.
Well, I'm pissed off.
I'm the person.
Like, I know, but I'm pissed off too.
Yeah,
I really am.
You could be. You can.
I should be.
I think that's nice.
I'm fucking want to fight.
We'll fight.
Not you.
Well, that's good. All right. Study here about cannabis being more effective than prescription drugs for pregnancy-related nausea. Pregnancy-related nausea is one of the most common experiences among expectant mothers. Around half of expecting mothers experience it. The nausea can strike at any time, day or night, and for some it can last the entire day. It varies in severity. Some people only have mild nausea, while for other women it can be debilitating, so much so that they can even lose their appetite. In the medical world, this is usually treated with any of several conventional pharmaceutical drugs. However, many of these drugs don't work for women. When pregnant women are unable to eat due to severe nausea, this can have serious and fatal implications. Low birth weight in infants, miscarriage, dehydration, and depression are among the many risks. A new study published in the journal Geburtsschleife und Frankenkund.
You pronounced that pretty
something
good.
Something like that. I probably didn't, but I tried. Has found that I can't believe I just did that. How did I just pull that off?
You did.
It sounded like I knew what I was saying.
You sounded perfect.
Okay. Well, that new study that was published in that journal, I'm not going to say it again, has found that cannabis actually works better than prescription drugs when it comes to treating hypermesis gravidarum, which is profuse vomiting. Researchers from the University of California, Los Angeles, together with researchers from Oregon's Hypermesis Education and Research Foundation, polled 550 people who experienced nausea while pregnant. The results showed that 96% of respondents said they used an antiemetic medication, while 14% said they used cannabis. A majority of those who did use cannabis reported that they did so because the antiemetics were not effective in treating this condition. Additionally, 82% of those who used cannabis said they were able to find relief and it was effective in helping them gain weight. This study adds to the growing literature supporting antiemetic properties of cannabis and cannabinoid compounds, while also suggesting their potential to treat the problem. A minority of respondents in this survey reported using cannabis. However, those who used cannabis or CPBs, cannabis-based products, reported more frequent relief from nausea symptoms compared to those who used prescription antiemetics, the author concluded. They added, cannabis products may be perceived as a more effective alternative, but more research is required to understand its mechanism and safety. In the meantime, providers must weigh unknown risks of recommending cannabis with a well-established risk of adverse and fetal outcomes. In a study from 2021 at the University of New Mexico, researchers analyzed symptoms among 2,200 participants from 5 minutes to an hour after consuming cannabis. They found that a whopping 96% of patients experienced relief in as little as under 1 hour. Despite increasing clinical concerns regarding cyclical vomiting or hypermesis syndrome in cannabis users, almost all users experienced relief, explains UNM's assistant professor and study author, Sarah Stith. The mechanisms behind cannabis's ability to rapidly reduce feelings of nausea are not fully clear, but likely involve the plant's ability to activate the CB1 receptor's responses to other stimuli in the central nervous system, explains co-author Jacob Vigil, an associate professor at UNM. It's no surprise that more women are turning to cannabis as treatment. A 2018 study out of California found that more women were using cannabis, and those who were in their first trimester suffering from extreme nausea and vomiting were more likely to do so. Researchers analyzed 220,000 pregnancies in the state from 2009 through 2016 and found that the average use was 11.3% for pregnant women with severe nausea. Our findings add important evidence to a small but growing body of research, suggesting that some pregnant women may use cannabis to self-medicate morning sickness, explains Kelly Young Wolf, PhD and lead author of the study. The endocannabinoid system helps to regulate numerous bodily functions, including maintaining homeostasis and a healthy central nervous system function. They also act on the gastrointestinal system, helping to regulate food intake, lipids, lipid synthesis, and more. Cannabinoids act on the CB1 receptors to reduce vomiting and increase normal intestinal activity. Studies have also found that the antiemetic capabilities of cannabis happen because of the CB1 receptors found in the dorsal vagal complex, also known as the DVC. And the DVC houses three nuclei that help process information from the nerve to the gut, as well as other structures of the body. Other research suggests that the way cannabinoids interact with serotonin receptors help curb nausea effectively. For pregnant women suffering from hypermesis gravidarum, severe vomiting during pregnancy, speak to your physician about the options available for safely integrating cannabis or CBD products into your lifestyle. With more expectant mothers medicating with cannabis for uncontrollable nausea, there are now safer options than ever before. You're no longer confined to pharmaceutical drugs for treating this condition. Woohoo!
Right. So yep. Now...
I think because of edibles too, right?
It's helped. Yeah, cannabis is helping smoking, right? Pregnant women, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And now they're being targeted.
Right.
And now they're hiding it, going back into like...
I think women have been using cannabis during pregnancy for a very long time.
Yeah.
For just this reason.
Right. So there was this article that came out, and I've talked about a couple things that I saw a couple states were doing to pregnant women. And this article came out on September 15th, and it says, "Cruel cannabis laws are turning pregnancy into a crime." And this is written by Leafly senior editor Bruce Barcott's and its opinion column about cannabis politics and culture. He said he gets asked a lot about Congress and cannabis legalization. When is it going to happen? People want to know. They treat it like a switch waiting to be flipped. Passed a bill and prohibition. Problem solved. Great success. He says this, though. It's not going to be that easy. The more I write about cannabis laws, the more I see how deeply the roots of power, discrimination, and cruelty are sunk into the American soil. And that week, when the article was written, those roots was exposed, and it was ugly. He said, late last week, Amy Yurkin, a reporter from Alabama.com, published a story exposing the practices of police prosecutors and judges in Etowah County, Alabama. You may have also seen the report on the story by Maureen Dugan on The Guardian in the small rural district about an hour's drive from Birmingham. The local powers that have been arresting pregnant women for cannabis and other drugs and then keeping them jailed indefinitely. The police say it's indeed to protect the fetus from harm. Several pregnant women and new moms accused of exposing their fetuses to drugs have been held for weeks or months inside Etowah County Detention Center. Ukraine wrote, under special bond conditions that require rehab and $10,000 in cash. Some women are trapped in a catch-22. Prosecutors and judges assume those arrested for low-level offenses like cannabis possessions or drug addicts, so they order them into rehab. But rehab facilities will only take patients with actual substance abuse disorders, not adults who happen to get caught with a little bit of weed on them. With these laws, the cruelty is the point. Apparently, there has been going on for years. Officials at National Advocates for Pregnant Women told Yurkin that they have records of more than 150 chemical endangerment cases in Etowah County since 2010. Good God, it makes my hair stand on end. And yet I'm not surprised when it comes to the criminalization of cannabis. The cruelty is the point. So it's happening also in legal states, too. Pregnant women and parents of young children are especially vulnerable to these aberrant laws, even in states where cannabis has been declared legal for all adults. Archaic police continue to punish law-abiding adults for exercising their right to relax and enjoy a little cannabis. Or even worse, they're punished by using cannabis as a medicine just to survive and get through their day. Earlier this week, the Marshall Project published a feature on district attorneys in Oklahoma bringing a felony child neglect charges against a woman for using medical cannabis while pregnant. Alex Peters, a longtime Leafly contributor, exposed the continuing harm done by the laws in an extraordinary feature they ran about 4 months ago. The investigation, the parents trap, how all old drug laws punish families in legal cannabis states, illustrated how state and county child welfare agencies are punishing pregnant women and mothers of young children for fully legal and responsible cannabis. So if you're doing this to women, then you have to arrest women who drink alcohol.
Yeah.
Or
during pregnancy.
During pregnancy. Or being prescribed something by a doctor.
Yeah. That's addictive or dangerous.
Harmful to the baby, but it's helping the mother. So you have to then arrest a doctor. You have to arrest the mother, and you have to arrest the maker of the drug also, because they're actually getting it prescribed to the mother. So alcohol, then you need to do that. You can't just pinpoint cannabis.
Right. Right.
23 states and districts of Columbia specifically classify exposed to controlled substances as child abuse or neglect. In her note, Peters noted that Alabama state legislator had recently proposed a law requiring all female medical cannabis patients under the age of 50 to show a negative pregnancy test from a doctor in order to purchase medical cannabis. His bill would also prohibit breastfeeding women from accessing medical cannabis. Beyond the programmatic horrors of such law, how current would the pregnancy test need to be? Who's testing for breastfeeding and how? Looks a clear message. We, the powerful, we control, will control what you, the powerless, may do with your own bodies. The cannabis laws of Alabama, as elsewhere, are convenient means to exercise that control. This is why patients aren't honest with doctors. Well, also written about the ways in which criminalization cannabis use works, its way into our medical system, harming patients, especially women of color, in ways both subtle and profound. An innocent question about cannabis during pregnancy could result in a doctor treating a patient as suspected addict or child abuse. Oh, man. Make your state legislators work for you, though. When you feel your blood boil over injustice in Alabama or Arizona, don't pound the table. Sit down and write your local state legislator. They have the power to change these laws. Congress moves slowly, but dozens of state laws can get changed during every local legislation. Just like what's happened in California, they signed like 12 cannabis bills and 10 cannabis bills a day or two ago. It's crazy. I'll read those in a second. So, Mrs. Wee Man, how do you feel about that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal, right?
It's crazy. Well, I mean, it's just women's rights. Like, we're going so backward. It's just, I'm too stoned to really get into that.
Maybe another
big
time.
Big of a conversation.
No.
No, I don't think I have the capacity to have that conversation right now. But it's crazy.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. It's nuts. Right. And after showing that cannabis helps with nausea. So that's why I want to talk about that article first and then talk about the injustice of what's happening with pregnant women in states.
Double standards.
100%.
Old laws, old rules.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's something crazy. Cannabis workers are losing their jobs as the economy gets shaky. Yeah, there's been a lot of layoffs. I mean, Canada just, I think they had like 6,000 workers just get laid. 6,000 jobs in cannabis industries were cut during the height of COVID. And that's 30% of the country's total weed force. United States here, there's a lot of the tech companies laying people off. Like 10 to 15% of all cannabis workers are getting laid off right now. It's crazy. Nuts. The U.S. Court of Appeals says no to removing cannabis from Schedule 1, says it's up to the Congress. That's going to take forever. Here's some of the so California Newsom signed some bills on Sunday. I'm not going to read them all. You can go on Marijuana Moment and read it. But a couple of them that was pretty good. One that I really liked was they can't fire you for using cannabis now after work hours. Like unlike Nevada, where they can fire you for using cannabis after work. It's fucking just brutal. Another one was labeling requirements for cannabis vaporizer products was pretty good. Just letting people know what's in it. What else here? There was another one I really want to talk about. I lost my place. Sorry, I'm pretty stoned. The prohibit local jurisdiction from adopting or forcing any regulation and prohibits the retail sale by delivery within the local jurisdiction of medical cannabis to medicinal cannabis patients or the primary caregivers by medicinal cannabis. Oh, here was the one. I remember now. They wrote a law saying that you can cross state lines and sell your cannabis outside California. That is fucking crazy. But the whole thing is, though, it's still federally legal to cross state lines. But California's
like California's saying it's okay, but the states that it's coming into didn't
right.
say it's okay. So what's the point?
They said they're allowing it. So even maybe they're getting ready for when it does go. Maybe they know something we don't. I don't know. So that was the big one. That was the big one. Like, how do you get away with that? You know?
Yeah.
Nevada district judge rules cannabis can no longer be classified as a Schedule 1 drug. Good for him. good for Nevada. Our friends to the north, Wisconsin, the governor said that he is vowing to again include cannabis legalization in the next state budget if reelected. And that's exactly the opposite of a Republican opponent, Tim Mitchell's, and the majority of the voters who back easing cannabis laws. So it's going to be really weird what happens in Nevada. In Wisconsin, I still can't believe it's not even medical there yet. Mm-hmm. It drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. Passing a drug test. How do you get away with it? We've talked about it before, but this is more research.
Yep. How to pass a drug test when you have recently used cannabis. Cannabis legalization has swept through the U.S., and you can now legally enjoy it for medical and or recreational purposes in 37 states. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean you're safe from losing out on a job or being let go from your current job if you have been found to have THC in your system. While it's now legal to partake in cannabis use, many jobs will still turn you down, or you may get fired for using cannabis in your free time. Many employers still drug test employees after hiring them or randomly throughout the year. This poses a serious issue for those who use cannabis regularly for medical purposes, and even for those who use cannabis recreationally. Why? Well, it's hard to tell how long THC will be detectable in your system. According to Healthline, THC can be traceable in body fluids up to 30 days after you've consumed cannabis, including CBD products with any amount of THC in them. If your employer lets you know about a mandatory drug test a month prior to testing, that may not be enough time for your body to detox. So how do you rid your system of THC in time? While there is no way to guarantee THC is 100% out of your system, we researched some remedies that may help. Cannabis can stay in different parts of your system for different amounts of time, depending on how frequently you use it, your weight, and your metabolism. Generally, the more you use it, the longer it will take to effectively pass a THC drug test. Partaking once may show up on a drug test for up to 3 days, and frequent use can show up on a test for a month or more. This also varies depending on the kind of test you take. A hair follicle test can detect THC in your system from the past 30 to 90 days. A blood or saliva test will most commonly detect THC from the past 1 to 3 days. The most common, a urine test, will detect THC from the past 3 to 30 days. If you're currently job searching or have been informed that you will have to take a drug test soon for another reason, your best and safest bet is to stop consuming cannabis until the test is complete. Detox and cleanse. It's one natural way to get THC out of your system faster before a cannabis drug test. You just have to sweat it out. Working out can clean your system and rid it of THC metabolites. This method is most effective when combined with other methods. Do anything to make yourself sweaty and active every day leading up to your test, and make sure to consistently drink plenty of water if you're taking a urine test. Visit a sauna after your workout session to maximize the effect. Supplements. You can also take drinks and supplements to help the THC get out of your system. They don't guarantee the desired result, but they won't hurt your chances either. Fruit pectin can be found in detox drinks and can clean out your intestines. You can also look for drinks with main ingredients like ginger, dandelion, turmeric, orange peel extract, prickly ash bark, and burdock to support digestion and elimination. There are also kit manufacturers like Toxin Rid, which has a 7 or 10 day kit for frequent cannabis users, and drinks like Mega Clean are designed to restore your urine's natural pH and temperature. As with all supplements, be sure to read the ingredients carefully, check consumer reviews, and consult with a doctor before using. Getting THC out of your system is not worth sacrificing your long-term health.
Yeah, neither is a shitty job either.
Yeah. That's more important.
Yeah. You're telling me, right? International news. More stuff about Thailand. And advocacy lawmakers are playing politics with Cannabis Act. And I've been reading a lot of stuff about Thailand's like the hot news in the cannabis world. And I love what they did, but it's so gangbusters now that the government's like, what the fuck did we just do? So now they're trying to pull some shit back. So cannabis activists reacted with dismay as lawmakers decision to shoot down a legislation that would regulate cannabis, saying it was a self-defeating political move. Longtime advocate said opposition lawmakers missed the opportunity to put needed regulations into place by voting down the Cannabis Act on Wednesday. They believe it was a disingenuous display of score points ahead of next year's election that belied their own ties to the budding industry. It's idiotic, says Arun Avery, co-founder of pro-cannabis advocacy group Hyla Network. Both parties which opposed the bill, Democrat and Pau Thai, or I don't know how to pronounce it, I apologize. We know their relatives, even their children, are invested in the cannabis business, and they know damn well this is where the money is. Members of both of the parties said the bill did not go far enough to rein in recreational smoking, which was made possibly by the full decriminalization of weed in June. By failing to put it in active place, the current status quo, a weed free for all in which few rules exist, will continue possibly until a new government is elected next year. It ain't stopping. Good luck. People be going crazy. Throwing the act away because of political reasons is very selfish. Industry founder Sornut Beer Masavanich, the reason it's purely politics. He said that it's really important to pass an act, which he described as a copy and paste of all of the Alcohol Act. In action, he said, would benefit illicit entities who would be happier. There's no law. He said refusing to move the bill forward constricted lawmakers, stated opposition to recreational smoking because it leaves the post-legalization legal vacuum in place. Nothing has changed, though. Everything is the same, he said. We just regulate ourselves instead of having to act act that regulates us. Up in smoke, Aaron said that while it was technically possible to recriminalize cannabis, he thought it was exceedingly unlikely. Yes, it technically can be done, he said, but that would be really embarrassing move for Thailand as the country on the global stage. Those who voted against the bill were fully aware of the implications, he said. It's kind of stupid and unproductive since they vetoed no. They actually pushed the whole process back in time, he added. A draft of the regulations need to be sent back to the committee level for them to rework the bill. The political power health minister who made the legalization the centerpiece of his time in the cabinet also blamed the playing politics and told people to shift the blame to the parties who attempted to delay it. The cat's out of the bag. You can't put it back, he said. If we reverse, they're going to have a real protest. Fuck yeah, you're going to have not just protest, you're going to have riots on their hands. It could be a class action lawsuit against the government if they do this. You did what you did. Stick with it. Let it go. Just add some regulations so people don't get hurt along the way. Right. You know, people don't get taken for money and get robbed and like invest in this and it was a scam. Do it right. But let the weed be free. Let people grow it like you want it to. Let people sell it, make money. It's going to be a great business for your country, especially exporting eventually. Woo-woo. Do you like doing your nails? You do a very, very good job on your toenails and your fingernails. I mean, you, between like the cutting and the pruning and the pinning and
pruning
and everything
like
you do,
I'm a tree.
Everything you do, yeah, basically, it looks like the way you work that shit. Yeah. I mean, you do a pretty fine job. But you never have done any kind of cannabis manicure.
No.
Tell us about it, Miss Wee Man.
I have not done that. But I have an article here about 10 cannabis-themed nail art ideas for a modern stoner manicure. And I will say, I think twice today, I looked up at the TV and there was a guy with nail polish on. And I thought it was cool. Like, you know, like a couple fingers are painted black or like one finger is painted white. Oh, it's kind of cool.
I think my brother still paints his toenails since the wedding.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
Shits and giggles, yep. They say. Well, of all the activities often associated with smoking cannabis, doing one's nails is a sorely underrated one. It's fun, for one, watching the swirling liquid colors spread across your nail and carefully focusing that stoned energy into each swipe. Plus, the time and patience required to let each coat dry works well with slower, more thoughtful rhythms. Once everything is dry, you get to admire your craftsmanship every time you pack a bowl or roll something up. More and more people are proudly displaying their cannabis-inspired manicures, from amateurs using leaf-shaped nail stickers to pros creating one-of-a-kind acrylic sets with actual cannabis plants. The inspiration lies in your smoking corner. The question is, just where will you get started? Here are 10 ideas to help you start your brainstorming for a weed-inspired manicure to remember. Classic leaves. Take any hue of polish, a pointed nail art tool, or a bent paper clip, ideally not the same one you use to clean your bowl. Add a lot of patience, and any amateur artist can pull off a 7-pointed leaf shape. mini leaf patterns. A big leaf across your nail isn't the only way to play with a weed motif, though. If you've got a narrower pointed tool on hand or opt for nail stickers, think of the mini seven-pointed leaf as an ingredient for a pattern. Make your own polka dots or checkered texture. Make them yours. Weed charms. For those who just don't have time for that kind of detailed work, there are reusable cannabis-themed nail charms that you can affix to your nail with a hearty glob of your favorite top coat. Shades of green. Not everyone is down to wear their love for cannabis so clearly, and there's nothing wrong with wanting a work-friendly wink to weed on your nails. The solution? Get creative. Get conceptual. Take any and all greens in your kit for a more subtle watercolor style or an ombre ode to weed. Smoke signals. Leaves and green only speak to part of the cannabis experience. Once the good times are underway, one thing comes to mind. Smoke. Swirls and puffs of fragrant, unmistakable cannabis smoke. This is a fun inspiration point for those seeking more neutral color palettes on their tips. 420, 710, weed, spelled with the number three instead of the letter E. Why not start the conversation with your nails? Cannabis culture offers an array of numerical references. 420 for all things weed, 710 for dabbers and vapors, and thanks to censorship on social media platforms like Instagram and TikTok, new code words like weed with the two letter threes instead of two E's and weed spelled O-U-I-D have emerged to be able to talk about the plant without getting flagged. More of a weekend mani for most, but one that will definitely reveal weed-friendly people quickly. Drops of honey. Speaking of concentrate consumers who love to dab, vape, or drizzle cannabis oil instead of inside of a joint, the syrupy texture of concentrates offer lots of inspiration for amber-hued nails. Honey drips and glowy globs. Use any finish or opacity to make your own gooey golden masterpiece. And the real deal. If you live in a state where cannabis and or hemp are more normalized, you likely have access to nail artists already creating incredible works of art on nails using real leaf bits or seeds and keef. With enough top coat and a narrow pair of tweezers, you can too. Or strain specific. You could do, think of Purple Hindu Kush, Blue Dream, Acapulco Gold, Red Velvet. The next time you're stumped on what manicure mood you're feeling, let your stash inspire your set. A mountainous, violet-hued sunset moment may not scream weed to everyone, but you'll know what high you're referencing, and that's satisfying. When in doubt, just get weird. One of the blessings of this plant is the freedom it grants our minds. It can enhance hunger and amusement, sure, but it also heightens curiosity and appreciation of things we typically take for granted. Get properly high on your preferred supply and go create.
Paint them nails.
Mm-hmm.
420's coming again soon.
I know.
Mrs. Weed Man.
420's a while away.
It's coming quick.
Okay.
I want it quick.
Hurry up.
But to me, it's always more about the time. So you can just 420 every once in a while, paint a little 420 on your nails.
There you go.
There you go. Alabama's, not the state, the band, Teddy Gentry arrested on cannabis paraphernalia charges. What the hell? Founding member of legendary country music band Alabama was arrested Monday morning on misdemeanor cannabis and drug paraphernalia charges, according to jail records. Gentry, 70, of Fort Payne, was booked in a Cherokee County jail at 10:30 a.m. and released at 11:06 a.m. That was a pretty quick get in and get out. The jail log did not give bond amount. Don Murray Grubbs, a spokesman for the band, told the Associated Press he was aware of the incident, but Gentry had no immediate comment. Sheriff Jeff Shaver said the arrest was made during a traffic stop. Alabama was formed in 1969 in Fort Payne as Wild Country by cousins Randy Owen, Gentry, and Jeff Cook. The band changed its name to Alabama in 77 and became one of the most successful groups in country music, peaking in the 80s with multi-platinum albums, yada, yada, yada. But it's a developing story and will be updated more as more information comes out. Come on, man. What are you doing busting that guy, man? Come on. 70 years old musician. They're going to smoke weed. What are you talking about? Right?
Right.
Oh, shit, man. Mrs. Weedman, that's the end of the show.
That went fast.
Fast.
Let's smoke some more.
We are going to smoke some more. You ready?
I am.
I love it.
I'm just in that mood.
I love it. You want to do one more hit for goodbye?
Yeah,
goodbye
I'll do hit? Another hit.
All right. We're going to do a goodbye. This is a first. Yeah. We've never done a goodbye hit.
A goodbye hit.
We might have to start goodbying every show. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Yo, everybody out there in the world, man, just smoke some fucking weed and just love life. There's so much shit going on right now and just so much bullshit and so much, I mean, so much hate. Let me hit this bowl.
Oh, are you going to cry? Are you sad?
No.
Okay,
I'm not sad at all.
Good. The world's a little messy right now. But all you can do.
Joe Biden said COVID's over, though. He said it on 60 Minutes.
Yeah. It's over. Like, it's just gone.
He said the pandemic's over.
Hmm.
That's what he said.
Okay. All right.
But I don't even, you know what? The crazy thing about it is you don't even hear about COVID that much anymore. You want to know something funny, though?
What?
A friend of mine in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
her and the whole staff she works with all have COVID. The whole sales team is out.
Oh.
Crazy. So it's still there.
It's still there.
Just no one's talking about it anymore.
Right. Old news.
It is. And just people aren't, it's not affecting people like it used to anymore. Everyone's, you know, they all, ever back since everyone to, got the vaccines and boosted and triple boosted, I mean, that's it. Good. Gone. It's slowed it down a little bit, but people are still getting sick. Just, you know, not dying like they were, and hospitals aren't getting filled up that we don't know of. So, but besides that, there's so much hate in this world right now. Mm-hmm. It's like we're back in the fucking Cold War, back in the Stone Age, back in the fucking, it's just like terrible. Like around the world, people dying for fighting for a government that's telling them to fucking go out and die. It's just weird. I don't understand how we as a world live under rule still when we the people should be, we weren't put on this earth to be ruled by a king, queen, a czar, a president, a fucking dictator. I don't know, man. I just see a lot of unhappy people out there that are.
But if there's no order, there's no
order.
There'd be chaos.
I'm not saying order. There's got to be laws. But to be ruled by one governing body and to be told what to do, most politicians are public servants.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
They act like they're rulers.
Well, and they also they stay in their positions too long. That's it. Yeah. Let's not get all
political. No, I'm not getting I'm just saying there's a lot of pain out in the world, and there's a lot of people hurting right now in the world, and there's a lot of people protesting out there in the world. I mean, I'm seeing it all over the world, and it's just a lot of pain. And as I sit there and I watch it and listen to it, I just feel for everybody. United States, Iran, there's shit going on. Haiti, there's shit going on everywhere, and it's just painful to see people dying for trying to protect themselves from the cruelty of their governments around the world. That's all I'm saying. I'm not getting political. I'm saying I'm seeing people getting hurt, and there's nobody doing anything about it. That's what I'm saying. I'm just bringing it to my attention, and it's just painful.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you.
That's all. So, you know, everybody out there, just, man, I love you all. Pray for you all and just try to just make sure you guys, like, get home at night safe and smoke a fat bowl and just see your family and your loved ones and just be happy and just go about life. You only got it once, man. Only have once. And just to see people dying, just you didn't get a chance to live life. It's just brutal, you know? I don't know. Smoke too much weed, maybe. The goodbye hit, though, was great.
I feel like it's a bedtime story that we're getting right now.
No, I'm not giving up bedtime stories.
It's all good.
I love you, Mrs. Weedman.
I love you, Mr. Weedman.
Thanks. Good to be loved. Hey, everybody out there in the world, thanks for listening. Don't forget, go to 8decades.com. Check out Mrs. Weedman's accomplishments. Amazing. Check out all the stuff. And stuff's coming. We're so excited. But go check out the website. All of our handles are on there. All of our social media handles. You can find us both. Say hello to Mrs. Weedman. Say hello to Mr. Weedman. Talk some shit. Send us some fucking pictures. Send us some fun shit. I love everybody that's doing it out there. I more Just we all need to be like just more weed and more community and more fun and more laughs and more bringing. So get on our social media. Weedman 420 Chronicles, 8 decades on all. That's all of our handles, man. Come check us out. We appreciate y'all out there. We love you. As Paulie always says, smoke smart. Puff, puff, and away.
Puff, puff, pass.